you happen to be rich and you feel like a night's entertainment, you can pay for a gay escapade. If you happen to be rich and alone and you need a companion, you can ring ding-a-ling for the mate. If you happen to be rich and you find you are left by your lover.
Good evening and welcome to It's the Economy, KGNU's weekly show about everything about our local and world economy. I'm your host, Jim Banks, and tonight we have a very special show. We are going to be talking about Amendment 69, which is an amendment to provide universal health care for Colorado residents. And I'm honored to have two guests with us, Kelly Bruff from the Denver Chamber of Commerce and Dave Sebados. Well, let's start with presentations. Dave, who are you and how are you involved with this amendment?
Great. Thanks for having me on today. My name is Dave Sebados. I'm a small business owner and general consultant to the campaign. I've been involved with the campaign for a few months now and absolutely thrilled to be working to help realize the goal of universal health care across our state.
Okay. Thank you. And Kelly, talk about just kind of a little bit about your background and why you're here for the con side of Amendment 69.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us. My name is Kelly Bruff. I'm with the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce. You absolutely don't want to hear about my background. It's way too long. Our work on this initiative has really been around, focused on how it impacts working families, small business, urban and rural Colorado. And I'm excited tonight to get the chance to share with you what those impacts would be.
Great. Thank you. Well, we might as well jump right in, and we're going to take callers in about 15 minutes. So let's start, Dave, with you. What is this amendment, and why are you in favor of it, and why do you think it should be passed in November?
Well, great. So Amendment 69 would create a system we call Colorado Care. It's a universal health care system across the state. And as ease of convenience way to think about it, imagine a Medicare for All type system at the state level. What we would be doing is replacing the expensive insurance premium, out-of-pocket expenses, and high deductibles with a simplified payroll deduction. It's only 3.33% for W-2 employees and 6.67% for the business. 80% of Coloradans are going to pay less under a system like this than under the current system, and most businesses will actually pay less if they're already providing insurance for health insurance for their employees. They're going to pay less under a system like this than having to go out in the market to find insurance for themselves.
Okay. Kelly, what is basically your position on Amendment 69?
Probably I should start with who I'm here representing. It's an organization called Coloradans for Coloradans. And to give you a sense of who we are, our co-chairs of that effort are Treasurer Walker Stapleton and former Governor Bill Ritter. And I mention that because when you look at our coalition, what you're going to see is it's Democrats and Republicans and unaffiliated voters. It's urban and rural. It's public, private, and nonprofit, small business and working families. And the reason we looked at this issue as a group, a very diverse group, and came to the conclusion that it's really a bad idea for Colorado, and that's an understatement. It's a $25 billion tax increase. To give you context, the current entire state government of Colorado is a $27 billion operation. So in one vote, you'd be recreating the entire size of our state government. There's no guarantees about the ability to deliver service in this proposal or what service levels you'd keep for health care. We also think it will impact the quality and access to care because we'd be the only state in the union who'd transition to single-payer health care. We think we'd lose a lot of our great innovative and expertise in the health care industry because of it. We also worry about its impact on seniors and their pensions as they would try to, some of their pension would have to pay this full 10%. On our smallest of businesses who are structured in a legal structure of what is called S-Corps or LLCs, what it really means is that those smallest of businesses, single proprietor, family businesses, farms, they pass through their income and it's counted as an individual's income. They pay the full 10% of this tax on our smallest of companies. It'd be devastating for them. So for many reasons, this coalition has come together to say, even if you support single payer as a philosophy, this is not the right answer for Colorado, and we're asking you to vote no.
Okay. Thank you both for that introduction. I would like to begin with a subject that has to be looked at, and I'd like to discuss kind of what happened in Vermont, because I know that that's a big issue a state that tried single payer, well, not exactly single payer, but universal health care, and the governor decided that it wasn't going to work. So I'd like to hear from each of you as we start, why you think it didn't work. Dave, go ahead. What is your take on that?
Sure. There's a lot of differences between what Vermont looked at doing and what Colorado's looking at doing. Vermont essentially started with the goal of a single-payer universal health care plan, but didn't work out exactly how they would fund it. And often that's what happens when you get politicians involved with this sort of process. One of the reasons that this is a citizen initiative, and this got to the ballot because individual folks went around, collected 150,000 signatures. We started with, how do you fund a system like this? And from there, built up what services it can provide. And what we learned is, while saving money, we can provide more services. It's a very different situation than what Vermont looked at. Vermont also is a very small state that doesn't have a huge population and didn't have the large risk pool needed to operate a healthcare system. Colorado is both larger and most of most Coloradans both live and work in Colorado, something that's different than the smaller northeastern states.
Okay, Kelly?
Well, what we relied on was the governor there, who actually advocated and I think was the central advocate and ran on creating a single-payer system for Vermont, is the person who we asked, you know, and looked toward, why didn't it work there? And his quote is something like, because to do it as a single state, it would be economically devastating for the state. And primarily his focus was on the devastation to working families and his smallest of businesses. And we've come to the same conclusion in Colorado.
Okay. Why will Colorado be different, Dave? What does Colorado have to do? What does this amendment do that can be successful and avoid the mistakes in Vermont?
No, certainly. Again, we built this starting from the ground up with what does it take to fund healthcare for every Coloradan? And from there, built a system around that. Anytime you have fights within a legislature, whether it's state or Congress, not a whole lot gets done. I think you can look at the gridlock in the federal Congress, and whether you're a Democrat or a Republican and want to blame the other side, we can all recognize that there's a lot of problems when you try and move major legislation through that. By doing this through citizens and starting with what it will take to fund it, it's a radically different proposal than what they were looking at out there.
Do you think it's a different proposal, Kelly? What do you see as the differences in the amendments or the proposals?
Well, fundamentally, the philosophy of a single-payer system is what it can do is slow down the increase in healthcare costs, reduce the cost of pharmaceuticals. The truth is, Colorado going alone into a single-payer system will not have an impact on the country's healthcare costs or the cost of pharmaceuticals. And so us alone as an individual state can't have that impact. This is a discussion that has to happen at a national level. And no matter how well-drafted or thoughtful it is, it won't work for a single state. The other reality is 93% of Coloradans, and it's actually estimated that right now we're probably moving closer to 95% of Coloradans do have health insurance coverage now. And we're strong supporters and think it's very important that Coloradans do have coverage. So that for us is not what this issue is about.
And Dave?
350,000 Coloradans are still without insurance. And the larger number is actually how many are underinsured. A higher number than that even have insurance that they're not able to take advantage of. These are insurance plans with incredibly high premiums, high deductibles, high copays. And so we have many individuals who are in a situation that they technically have health coverage, but they're never able to use it because of the high costs associated with it. Colorado Care is a plan with no deductibles and very few copays. And it's a coverage that people could actually use.
Kelly, do you think they would use it? Is that a better system?
A couple of things. First, it's not guaranteed that there's no deductibles. The plan draft right now says that that's the intention, but it also in the same draft says that those deductibles very well could be coming along with pre-existing conditions. Further, you could be in a situation where you'd be paying into this plan and not be eligible based on the eligibility requirements that have been outlined in the document. We think there could be a number of challenges around the plan, not to mention just the cost itself. You'll pay for 2 years some percentage to get the plan up and running at the same time time being paid for your health insurance. Any company that does business in more than just Colorado has to wrestle with that they will absolutely still pay this full 10%, them and their employees, but wrestle with, do they now have employees on two different plans? Will we be able to recruit workers to Colorado? Could it hurt and impact our efforts to do that? Could it impact our efforts to recruit companies to do business here? Because we'd be the only state in the union with a vastly different healthcare system. We're concerned about all of those issues.
Dave, how would you respond to that?
Sure, a number of things. And I think a lot of those numbers are really misleading. First of all, if you're self-employed, the actual rate you'll end up paying is somewhere about 6 or 7% after how you do tax deductions when you file. So that 10% number that keeps being thrown around to scare folks just isn't accurate. And again, a business would actually pay the 6.67 and the employee pays 3.33. You know, 62% of bankruptcies right now are medical related. That's hurting our economy overall. People who are filing bankruptcy because of excessive medical bills are then not in positions to buy homes, buy cars, participate in the economy in a way that someone who's covered is able to. This will be a huge boost for our economy once the medical expenses are taken off of folks' back in a fair system where everyone pays in.
Now, I had not heard what Kelly said about pre-existing conditions. What is the status of that? How is that decided?
It's just another scare tactic that the opposition's using.
So you're saying that there will be no pre-existing conditions clause, in a sense, no matter what you have, you're in?
Individuals who are Colorado residents are covered, and it's that simple.
Okay. Kelly?
I only read what Colorado Care has produced, and in their own documents, there's a 21-member board. The board decides what's covered. The board very clearly says, and the outline in the board structure says, there could be pre-existing conditions that if financially it isn't viable. The board can ask for annually to raise taxes, that 10% shared by the employer-employee to raise that amount if the $25 billion doesn't cover the costs. And they can also place further limits on what's covered or not covered. So the 21-member board becomes very important. And I would say a lot of this is actually unknown in terms of what the success will be or not be. And the potential, as you saw in Vermont, for it not to be able to financially work is extremely high.
Dave, another thing that the con position on this says is that it's not an issue that should be in our Constitution, that this kind of big commitment should not be constitutionally added to Colorado's Constitution. How would you respond to that?
Well, there's a couple things. One is the realities of the way tax collection and our state budget works pretty much requires us to do this through the state constitution. That also then means we are working with the Tabor system as well, also built into the state constitution. And so excess revenues that are brought in can either be used to expand coverage options or refunded back to taxpayers. I mean, it just works much simpler when it's constitutional instead of statutory. The 21-member board that keeps getting referenced, it's really important to point out, is elected by Coloradans. And so, again, we're taking big corporate profits out of this. We're taking corporate decisions out of this, and we're returning control back to Coloradans.
Kelly?
It absolutely should not be in the Constitution. We legalized marijuana a few years ago. We have voted on that three times because it's in our Constitution and we can't get it right. This is a huge undertaking. The chance that it will all be correct is absolutely should not be in our Constitution. Another provision in this draft, by the way, is the 21-member board cannot be recalled. And we have no other elected official in Colorado who cannot be removed from office by the electorate.
Okay, that was something I didn't know, that they can't be recalled. Dave, why can't they be recalled?
Board members can be removed, and they can be removed in various ways. Again, the sort of odd nitpicking I find is really kind of grasping at straws against this. And honestly, a lot of these same tactics are what you keep hearing. In fact, Kelly, I have a great quote that sounds a lot like what you just said. This is critically important. While we are convincing companies to come here, we're selling them on a workforce, a very well-educated, hardworking, productive workforce. This doesn't reinforce that brand. It's a quote from you, but not about Amendment 69, but about Amendment 64, which you referenced, you also opposed. I think it's actually proof that we can do citizen initiatives and take things directly to the voters. And that process has worked incredibly well and is, again, a scare tactic by the chamber several years ago to oppose that, using the exact same language about how the sky would fall, no one would want to move to Colorado, and our economy would collapse if we passed. And it's an incredibly functional system.
So you think people are moving to Colorado for marijuana?
I don't know if they're moving here because of marijuana, but we certainly don't see the mass exodus and the sky falling that Kelly and others predicted.
We didn't predict the sky would fall with marijuana. We said it's not consistent with our brand. And I really do want to clarify that, because what I'm saying to you today is that to put a $25 billion proposal in your constitution to be the only state in the union to do it, when other states have not gone ahead of you because of the economic challenges that they would face, because of the impact on small business and working families. And by the way, 90% of business in Colorado has less than 100 employees. We are extremely small business oriented here. So they really do, the burden of this proposal falls directly on our smallest of businesses. That is in no way a good idea for Colorado. And we do have the smartest and healthiest workforce in the country. It is a competitive advantage for us. And anything that can harm our ability to hold on to that workforce and hold them up is a risk to us. And we should all be really careful and think about how do you ensure that we maintain our competitive advantage as we try to address challenges and issues we face. This initiative does not do that at all.
We are talking to Dave Sabatos and Kelly Bruff about Amendment 69, which we will be voting on in the fall, about universal health care for Coloradoans. We have Joan from a rural area of Colorado on the line. Joan, what is your question or comment for Dave or Kelly? Joan, are you there? Here we go. Joan?
Yes, hi.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm thinking that a lot of what's happening is a real resistance to this kind of initiative overturning the status quo that the insurance companies and that seems to be represented here. So this is the question that I have, is that because I really do feel there's some real misrepresentation of figures that are being presented, and I won't point fingers, but I think the people that are listening can hear it. So this is my question, is that as a Medicare person, I have many questions. I have three questions, actually. As a person who would be entitled to Medicare, would I be willing to, would my Medicare benefits be able to fold into the initiative that they're talking about for Amendment 69, number one? And number two is there any consideration being made in this amendment for people outside the allopathic system, that I would be able to, as an insured person, be able to employ the services of someone who is not into allopathy because they're qualified and they're certified and blah blah blah, mm-hmm. and so that I don't have to go to the pharmaceutical industry for my health and my okay, and so I won't go there. And then the third question is that what kind of impact, so that these people can be maybe a little more at rest, what kind of impact would it have on them who are already bought into their insurance policies that are, you know, blah, blah, and so that they wouldn't be impacted. And so, you know, maybe that could be addressed so that they might be a little more at rest, that they can go ahead, take their pharmaceuticals, go to the allopathic doctors that are promoting the same old, pay the insurance premiums and have the insurance companies continue to have their billions of dollars of profits. And so that they could buy into that system and we could buy out of it. So
okay,
would Amendment 69 help us with that?
Okay, stay on the line in case they don't answer your question fully. Dave, go ahead. Why don't you talk about her three questions?
Sure. And if I understood the third correctly, it's actually where I'd like to start, the impact of folks who are already in insurance and already on insurance and the insurance.
Dave, wait a minute. I'm having trouble hearing you on this phone. Oh, okay, just a minute.
It sounds better now. Go ahead,
Dave. All right. Great,
okay.
Thanks. So, first of all, on the note of the insurance industry, I think it's important to note, in 2014, the CEO of UnitedHealthcare's compensation package was $66.1 million, and that was money from the insurance premiums and everything that folks are paying in. And by cutting out corporate profits is actually where a lot of the savings can come from. When we enact this, you keep hearing the scary $25 billion number, we're going to save at least $4.5 billion in the first year alone. And so individuals who already have insurance will have the opportunity to get better coverage with less payments into the system, and a system that isn't just feeding corporate profits. As far as Medicare.
So the people who want to stay with their insurance companies can have that choice. They do not have to buy into the Colorado Care. They would be able to stay with their insurance company and promote their CEOs. You're not cutting out their insurances, right?
Well,
isn't that right?
So technically, private insurance is not barred. Every resident of Colorado will be paying into the system. Think of it kind of like the public school system.
Okay.
Yep. Everyone has access to public schools in our state, and if you really don't like the options presented you in public schools, you can still go a private route.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Kelly, what do you think about that before we go on to her other questions?
Well, I think what's important to understand is every single person pays into this system. So the notion that some of us as working families could afford to buy our own health care in addition to share with our employer and the employee the cost of this, I think the answer is we would all be transitioning. And so, no, people, it's hard for me to imagine how you could afford that. I think that is misleading, that you do transition. Everybody pays in the new system, and you transition
to a new system. Okay, I've heard enough. Thank you. I'm sorry. So you would rather pay $6.1 billion, $1 million to one CEO rather than contribute to a community social fund. Is that right?
I don't mean to make you angry, but I would also say to you, I wish Colorado Care could, in any way impact the concerns about what CEOs are paid or frankly, anyone is paid. But Colorado will not impact that. That's the point we're making on our campaign. It's not that your frustration isn't warranted or anything like that. It's we can't impact it by being the only state in the country who does this.
That's why we're saying it won't work. Okay, thank you. Can we go on to the second question, please, so we don't waste a lot of energy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Or let's talk about the allopathic medicines. Dave, will people be able to go through alternative and try to get away from pharmaceuticals?
I'll be honest. This is one where I know there's some regulation that came up through the state about various alternative medicines being licensed in certain ways that I'm not
a practitioner. Practitioners,
thank you.
Not
yes.
Medicines.
Yes, I'm sorry. That and how those practitioners interact with our current insurance system, and that is something I am. I'll be honest, I'm not completely familiar with.
Right, I understand.
I would certainly direct you. I know we have some great policy experts. If you check out coloradocare.org and shoot an email, there's some of the individuals who helped write this who could probably answer that question for you a little better than I could.
Okay, and then back to the Medicare thing, then would those of us who want to fold our Medicare premiums into the Colorado system, would that help the system work, or would the Medicare people still be separate?
So that question is a little bit complicated ultimately. So Colorado Care Amendment 69 is possible because of a clause in the Affordable Care Act that allows states to kind of go in their own way as long as they're covering as many or more people.
And that starts in 2017, right?
It would go fully into effect in 2019. And Medicare recipients will largely see very little change in in your benefits. Ultimately, I think it will open up more medical practitioners for Medicare recipients as billing systems become simplified. Instead of billing back to 18 different options, everything can kind of bill through ColoradoCare. Some of that is what gets worked out when the waiver through the ACA would be filed.
And okay, thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah. And the one thing I want to say, too, is that when you addressed before underinsured, as a Medicare person, I am underinsured when I have to go to a private insurance company, a corporation, to access certain kinds of services. And I have, since I was 15 years old, I have paid into the system. I am 70 now, and I don't want to hear these people talking about that I have to go to private corporations that are making this kind of money because I am underinsured as a Medicare person. So I just would like to make that statement. And thank you guys so much for even bringing this forum up. I appreciate
Joan, thanks for your call. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think I forgot to give the phone number a few minutes ago. Please call us with questions or comments for Dave or Kelly. Our phone number is 303-442-4242. Kelly, how would you respond to some of the answers that Dave gave?
I got a little chance to jump in. One thing I think that is important to understand about the Medicare, as we read the initiative, how it works is you maintain your Medicare coverage, and this becomes your supplemental coverage. That means then you would pay, and it's based on income levels, and it's complicated, as Dave said, but roughly at around $24,000, anybody who earns over that, you're going to pay 10% of your income for ColoradoCare to be then your supplemental care in this situation. And it seems that seems important to me that people understand you still have the same coverage you have today, and then you pay for the supplemental here to get the ColoradoCare as your supplemental coverage.
Let's talk about numbers a little bit, because I'm not completely clear on some of this. The proponents of the amendment, I think, are saying that it's not simply adding $25 billion to our economy. It's sort of shifting it from people paying premiums, deductibles, copays, that money will no longer be sort of on one side of the ledger, that the net savings will actually increase, and that for businesses, they will be paying, they pay now a certain amount for their employees, but when this goes into effect, the net will be that they will actually be paying less money. Dave, is that true?
And absolutely.
Does that help with the $25 billion idea?
Yes. Right now, Coloradans collectively are paying about $30 billion into private health insurance. And ColoradoCare...
And that's per year?
That's per year, okay. Yes. ColoradoCare would be collecting $25 billion, give or take. Those are round numbers, which is generally why we say it would save at least $4.5 to $5 billion just in the first year. And those savings are expected to increase.
Do you agree with those figures, Kelly?
On the actual $25 billion for the initial collection of the tax, what is not added into that $25 billion is what will be the copays. And it is very clear, even in the ColoradoCare proposal, that there will be copays for non-preventative care. And the level of what those will be is still a question. It also doesn't, you don't know what's covered or not covered. The philosophy of single payer is that you set caps on what you pay, that you limit maybe what you pay for. And when you're the only state to do that, what will absolutely happen is your access to care will change in Colorado, that some doctors or healthcare professionals will leave the state. As a matter of fact, if you go to rural Colorado, there's currently concerns about access and quality care. And the concern is it only gets worse. And so this notion that somehow Colorado can impact overall healthcare system in the United States by going single payer alone is really the challenge that we're raising. We're not saying the philosophy of how single payer works or how it might help in a country. We're not challenging that philosophy. We're challenging the notion that Colorado can boil the ocean.
If people leave, if doctors leave, won't other doctors come if they like the model, if they believe in it? if, like Joan, they're concerned about administrative expenses and money going to CEOs, wouldn't it be a net zero sum there?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to paint this as it's a greedy issue. I really don't believe it is in this situation when you think of our doctors. Our doctors come out with incredible debt when they come out of school right now. They're struggling, many of them. It is a vastly different environment than being a doctor 20 years ago, where it was something probably all of our parents thought it would be a great idea if we were going to grow up to be that. It's not so much the case anymore. And so the reality for young doctors in particular is they do have to figure out how to have reimbursement rates that allow them to pay off debt. So I don't want to get into all of that. I hope you're right, if this was to pass. That said, the real challenge, I think, is this issue and notion that somehow we will impact overall cost of care. People will actually leave. If you're not covered here for coverage, then you're going to see people buy supplemental insurance. And it's even talked about in Colorado Care. Well, that immediately adds to the $25 billion idea if you have to buy supplemental care to add for whatever isn't covered by Colorado Care, or to have your employees be equivalent to employees you might have in other states if you're a corporation or a company who does business in any other state, so you don't have unfair or unequal healthcare systems. All of those costs aren't added in. The copays aren't added into that cost. And then I think the confidence right now that a government-run system is going to somehow be more efficient and deliver a better proposal for Colorado than our current system is hard to imagine. And we have a lot of examples right now of where actually the government-run systems are not working great. So I think it's a wish and a prayer that we're asking people to vote, or that Colorado Care is asking people to vote yes. What we're saying is this can't be, in Colorado, it cannot impact the country's healthcare system. The conversation about single payer needs to happen at a national level. And quickly, this kind of debate format devolves into, should it be single payer or not? And that isn't what I am arguing. And it's hard, even for our callers, I think, to hear that piece of it.
Dave, I know Vermont had some issues with other states. Of course, it's a smaller area, and there mm-hmm. were many surrounding states, and they couldn't quite figure out how they were going to pay or not going to pay for people in, like, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. What is the status of how this Amendment 69 will deal with that in Colorado? I imagine it won't be as big a deal, but it will certainly be somewhat of a deal. What will this amendment do about that?
Well, again, most Coloradans both live and work in the state, your ability to be covered is very simple. If you live here, you're covered. And so individuals who are living in Colorado are automatically enrolled and have that sort of coverage. I believe that answered your question. But I would love to respond to something that Kelly just said. On the note of government programs not being as efficient, the overhead, administrative overhead on Medicaid is something around a little less than 4%. The administrative overhead for private corporations doing health insurance is 20 to 25%. So the idea that we can't have a healthcare system run by, and this is more a kind of quasi-governmental entity, and certainly not the federal government or the state government, but the idea that any government entity can't be as efficient is just preposterous, because we have a functional system in Medicaid already.
Okay. Kelly, respond to that, then we have another caller.
Medicaid is a nationwide system. It's not state by state, so you actually can probably have some impact in terms of economies of scale and those kinds of issues. Again, our issue is you can't just do it in Colorado. Here's an example. One of the questions is, how many people move to Colorado then who are unemployed? Because at least here, you'd have all your care covered, and you don't have to be paying into the system to be covered. You just have to be a resident in Colorado. And so do people move to Colorado so they have health care coverage, which no other state would be offering? And that's not calculated into the $25 billion of how do you manage if we are in a situation like that? And why wouldn't people do that? If we're the only state in the union who will provide coverage with no payment by you.
We have a call. John from Lafayette, go ahead with a question or comment for Dave and Kelly.
Thank you. Yes, I have two questions. I think you may have answered my second question just before. The second question, if I may start with that, is what is the overhead cost for the current insurance system now, and with a Colorado Care system, which is basically modeled after the Medicare, as I understand it. And I believe it's here, it's close to 20% overhead costs with the current system. And is Medicare less than about 2% administrative and overhead costs? So that was the first question. And so that's the second question, now or later?
Let's do the first question first. Go ahead, Dave.
All right.
How would you respond?
Yes, again, the overhead on most current private insurance is about 20-25%. Medicaid is somewhere less than 4. Exact numbers are occasionally hard to pin down. But either way, we can see a nearly 20, you know, that's almost a 20% drop. And this would certainly be a much more efficient system.
Kelly, do you think it's more efficient?
Again, I don't think Colorado can. What makes a system like this single payer efficient and work is that it's a national system. The philosophy requires an entire country who moves in this direction. So I don't think Colorado will have any impact on the healthcare or pharmaceutical costs in the country.
Okay, what's your second question?
Yes, let me quickly do a background. As an example of a family with one individual with high health care costs, okay? Now, back in 2014, we had about 40 arbitrary denials of our claims, about 40. And it took forever. We finally had to file a complaint with the Division of Insurance. We gradually got some help on that. And even then, the insurance company, a private for profit, even denied them again. That they didn't have any loss except maybe a little interest, perhaps. So this happens to so many thousands of people, and other people have had horrible times. And the system simply seems to be broken, from my experience. For those people who have their own insurance privately and might have someone with high expenses, especially. So within the second year, 2016, we had Carl HealthOp, that was a cooperative. But that got put out of business that's a whole different subject you can talk about later. So the question is, will the Carle Care take care of some of this problem where the insurance company can arbitrarily deny and profit greatly from that compared to the current system? Thank you.
Okay, John, thanks for that. Yeah, let's see what Dave and Kelly have to say about that. Dave, go ahead.
Sure. A private insurance company is in the business of making money, and that's their goal. Again, I touched on the numbers. When you have a corporate CEO make $66.1 million in a year, well, they're making it because they're denying a lot of claims. When you have an entity set up like Colorado Care, whose sole focus is not corporate profit, but instead healthcare, we can not be denying claims. We can be in the business of accepting claims and actually providing real health insurance or real healthcare in the state.
Kelly, how would you help John with an insurance company that 40 times denies him, just wastes his time, you know, just hacks away at him? What is he supposed to do about that?
Yeah, I feel like I'm not in a great position to be very helpful without the details.
Well, in general, because we all know that happens. What do you think?
Well, I think, again, I don't know how to be helpful. It sounds like you got it through at the end of the day and hopefully helped break down barriers for future similar claims for people. I do think John raised an important issue, and it's this question of the co-op. And actually, I don't think it's that different, right? It's an example of the complexity of trying to fix the challenges we're all facing that you described to us just now, John, and how hard it is to find fixes that actually work. And the number of co-ops or exchanges that are not making it, even through this initial transition that we all went through with the Affordable Care Act. This is a very complex issue. And for Colorado to believe that a simple answer, going it alone and not being able to have the kind of impact that a country would have, I think we've seen how those failures have occurred already.
John, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We have more callers, but Kelly, I wanted to ask you, what was the chamber's position on the Affordable Care Act?
We did not take at the federal level when they were voting on it, we did not advocate for or against. Often in legislation, we were strong supporters of Colorado's exchange. We continue to be strong supporters of the exchange because we do think it's important that we keep providing more coverage for more Coloradans and make it as competitive and transparent as we possibly can.
Okay. We have another caller, Homan from Boulder, on the line. Homan, go ahead with your questions or comments.
Well, I have a comment and a question. The comment is that, as I recall, about 10 or 12 years ago, the state legislature and the governor's office had what they call a blue ribbon panel to look into the cost of health care and what would be the best method. And the most cost-efficient method that they came up with was a universal care or a single-payer type system for the state of Colorado. It didn't have anything to do with the whole country. And so if either of your guests remember that, I would like for you to comment on that. So that's my main thing. And I have to say, you know, I'm a single-payer supporter. And this question is more specifically for Dave, which is the purpose of this initiative to affect the rest of the country, or is it really primarily to fix Colorado's health issues? And I'll go after that question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Dave, let's start with that question first.
Sure. I don't see any reason why we can't do both. I know there's the saying out there, and I don't remember who said this first, about states being the laboratories of democracy. And we have the opportunity to do two great things simultaneously. One is we can cover every Coloradan, and second, we can show that a universal healthcare system like this is functional, and so hopefully it does spread to other states.
And what about his first question?
Blue Ribbon Commission?
Yeah.
I am familiar with that report. As a matter of fact, people who served on that Blue Ribbon Commission now are part of Coloradans for Coloradans in opposition to this particular proposal. And I can't probably give you all the details of why they see the world differently now, but I can tell you they've joined our coalition and do feel this isn't the right answer. And that I also think some of it is the world has changed significantly since that first Blue Ribbon Commission because of the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, we have another caller. We have John from Boulder this time. John from Boulder, what are your comments or questions for our guest?
Yeah, actually, I had a couple. First, I'm a teacher here in Jefferson County, but I live in Boulder. And my wife and I have United Healthcare. And the cost of our insurance is about a third of my pay. And I would happily pay 10%. To not have to pay 30 for insurance coverage that is completely worthless. And I have to say that with the 20% that we'd be saving, we'd you know, love to have that. Secondarily, the CEO of United Healthcare makes, you know, 30 times what I would in a lifetime of teaching in a year. You know, and I get health care that is completely worthless for that. And I would be more than happy to, you know, have that money back. Secondarily, it's interesting because Kelly seems to be representing the Chamber of Commerce. And it really seems more like a very polished AstroTurf kind of a, you know, corporate line that she's pulling, not one that's interested in solving the problem. And that's what we need, is a solution to this problem, because the system's broken and it's killing people. Anyway, that's my two cents. And, you know, I'd like to know what the solution would be. If you're saying this isn't the solution, fine, what is? Thanks.
John, thanks for your call. Kelly, what is the solution? What does the chamber want to do to help someone who's paying one-third of their income for health care?
Did you say you're a teacher?
I am. I also own a small business here in town. And so,
and you don't,
you know,
get
I
health insurance through your employer?
Well, I do, but it's got a $4,000 yearly deductible, and it costs me about a third of my income. So it is literally completely worthless. Whenever we try to use it, You know, anything we try to use it for isn't covered. It's just, you know, we're getting absolutely screwed on this. And this is why people hate the health insurance companies. It's why people are more than happy to vote for anything if it will hurt them. You know, and it's been happening for 30 years.
I do think your point is good, that we often vote with our pocketbooks, right? And what deal best impacts us, or how it impacts us personally, is how we do look at these issues.
Anne, go ahead. So what would the chamber
do? I'm sorry,
do?
What That's the chamber okay. would do. Yeah, well, again, for us, we think this is a national conversation. You have to have it at the national level. Colorado will not impact the cost of health care, the amount of money that a health care company makes, that an insurance company makes, that a doctor makes. It will not impact the cost of pharmaceuticals by going alone. We will not. It won't work.
And so
we will be paying still
times,
into a system.
If I pay 10% out and it saves me, you know, 30%, I'm still saving 20%. I would happily pay my own medication if I was saving 20%.
I guess what I'm raising, John,
I can't go to the doctor now.
Is the system will still cost the same or more. And it may not to you personally, but the system will. And so our solution would be that you have to do this at a national level. That's where the conversation has to be.
And Kelly, what is the chamber doing nationally then? What would their ideal be nationally for a healthcare system that would not cost someone a third of their income?
Well, at this point, we're distracted by an idea that we think hurts Colorado, so we're focused on that.
Well, don't be
that
distracted.
That said,
well,
it is distracting.
Well,
a $25 billion tax increase that would have no impact on the health care costs for Coloradans is a big distraction and would separate us from the number one competitive advantage that employers provide to employees after pay is health care. It is a big deal. And I'm not saying
the Chamber of Commerce has actually pushed against this at every conceivable opportunity.
We absolutely have not.
Nationally. Anytime that we have.
I can only speak for the Denver Metro Chamber.
Okay.
I appreciate
the National
the U.S. Chamber is a separate. They're a fully separate entity. And I what you said earlier, I get you've painted me, you know, with a picture of me of who I am. But we have not opposed it. We've actually supported the Colorado Exchange and the implementation of the Affordable Care Act in Colorado, and we haven't taken our eye off that since it's been here.
Health insurance companies spent as much as $100 million to fight ACA when that was going through Congress federally. So the idea that a large group of, you know, corporate giants are somehow looking out for our best interests is just preposterous.
John, do you have any final questions or comments?
Well, you know, just that if we want to change things, that there is no corporate way to change this money-making machine for the health insurance industry. The only way to change it is from the grassroots up, and that's what that's what this amendment is a change from the grassroots up. Anyway, that's everything I had. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. So, Kelly, tell me again, does the chamber have like a national idea of what an ideal healthcare system would be for the country so that someone like John doesn't pay a third of his income for healthcare?
As I mentioned, we don't weigh in on federal legislation very often. We didn't weigh in on the ACA Act, pro or con. And so I'm under no illusion that little Kelly Bruff gets to roll in at the federal level and suggest a solution and somehow I get it done. What I am absolutely aware of is that the state of Colorado has the ability to influence public policy at the federal level. And working on issues like this is exactly the kind of issue that should be worked on at that level. So if you were to say to me, there is a coalition and a group working on it, I am confident I could find businesses who would say, we absolutely are interested in that work and joining that kind of effort.
Would the chamber be in favor of a national single-payer or universal health care package of some kind if it worked?
Well, the great news is I don't get to, opine our position on legislation.
Well, somebody has to.
we have a process. When you have 3,000 members, we're very thoughtful about that process. And our members represent the full spectrum of Colorado. And so we would go through our internal process to ask the question of, is this something we'd support and do everything we can to help get it done? We've done it on immigration at the federal level would be an example. And we have been in full support of a complete revision of immigration and being able to, I don't know if you tracked immigration, but what the 8 senators came together as a solution, we were one of the first business organizations in the country to endorse it. So we're not, I do feel, honestly, a little bit in this show, it's being painted as if we're anti anything that would help address health care or the challenges we face. Our businesses face these challenges. Our employees of those businesses face these challenges. I do see it as something we have to work on together. But I also don't feel that I have all the right answers and that it would take a coalition of us to figure out what it is we would support at the federal level.
Dave, what do you think about at the federal level? My guess is that you probably would be in favor of a universal health care or single-payer system at the federal level.
Absolutely. And again, it's gridlock in Congress, and the failure to take meaningful action on this is one of the reasons that we look at the state level. We get the politics out of it, but if a federal solution could be found, that'd be wonderful.
So I guess for both of you, but Kelly first, someone like John, who's paying a third of his income for health care, is it worth it just to give it a shot so that people like this can get relief? Now, my guess is that you'll say, it's so problematic and it will hurt businesses enough that it's going to really, as far, you feel bad for John, but it's still going to mess everything up even more. But if it's just not working and it takes such a process even for the chamber to go through the 3,000 and maybe come up with something, is it worth it just to give this a shot and see?
So 90% of the 3,000 members that I represent are very, very small companies. Less than 100, but I would guess 87% of them have less than 50 employees. We are very small employers. We have a number of employers who face exactly the challenges that you've heard on this radio show and still believe it is absolutely not worth a shot like this because of the risks that it brings for us to go it alone. That this isn't like other things where you get to pave a path and try something out in a pilot program. This truly is healthcare. It's fundamental to our economy. It's a competitive issue for us as a state. It separates us from every single other state as a competitive issue. And it is not worth going it alone. And it is also critical that we continue to find and working together to find what are the right solutions to address these issues. So our coalition does have people who are struggling with these. 60% of Coloradans currently receive their health care through their employer. Our employers are struggling to maintain that level of benefit, and their employees are struggling to pay for it as much as the employer is. We absolutely continue to work on this issue.
And so wouldn't it be best to get employers out of the picture together? Why would businesses even want to do something like this?
Yeah, I think some businesses, that's part of why we have been such strong supporters of the exchange, is does it allow people to be in a market picking what they actually want and what works best for their family and having transparent competitive rates?
So, Kelly, we're getting a little bit low on time, but just the tone of some of the callers we've had tonight, there is the impression in the country, for better or for worse, for right or wrong, that it's a wasteful system, what we have now, that the chamber doesn't really want to change things, that CEOs are making way more than they should, that people like John are not, really struggling, and his health care is worthless, and he doesn't know what to do. How do you, and then I'll ask Dave too, but how do you deal with that image, at least? How do you deal with the perception that the insurance industries are in business for themselves and not for people? How does anybody deal with that nationwide and in Colorado?
Yeah, I think, all of those, probably if I think many Coloradans feel one, two, maybe multiple of those points you just made. And for us, the issue is not in any way to say those feelings, frustrations, issues aren't valid. It's to say Colorado Care is not going to solve those.
We have another caller. We have Wesley from Boulder. Wesley from Boulder, go ahead with comments or questions.
Good evening. My question is, why should companies be involved in providing health insurance at all? Why just not go through one payer and, you know, then all the companies, they wouldn't have to provide health insurance to their employees because they would get it through the state system. And it would be much easier for them. They wouldn't have to keep track of the administrative costs or anything like that. They would be just out of the picture, and it would just go straight through the single payer system in the state. I just don't understand why corporations or companies that people work for should have to be involved in providing health insurance for them at all. That's my question.
Okay, thank you, Wesley. Dave, what do you think? Why are corporations involved? And I know you probably would like to see them out of the process. Go ahead, Wesley.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna
Dave,
say,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I know there's a long history of why corporations started being involved with providing health insurance. Many ways, getting companies out of that is in part what this does. Someone who's operating a small business doesn't have to be spending their time or hiring someone else to deal with what insurance plan is the good fit for their employees and all of the administrative right. headache that has, and they can focus on running their business. And we're going to replace what's a very high cost for them right now with a much more reasonable cost if this passes.
Kelly?
I do think there's a number of companies who would be in full agreement they'd like to get out of this business. Those same companies look at Colorado Care and will tell you, if you are having a national conversation about this issue, they might be all in. But for Colorado to go it alone, they can't be there because they really don't believe it's going to deliver the results. It's impossible to deliver the results that they're purporting. We can't impact healthcare costs, pharmaceutical costs, the costs of our health insurance and packages as a single state.
Have you ever run a small business, Kelly?
I have.
Great. And how much of your time was spent dealing with healthcare for employees, or did you not offer healthcare?
We were a two-person employee, and we did have to cover our own health care costs, yes. As a matter of fact, Colorado, as a single proprietor small business state, is fourth in the country in terms of the number of our employers who are single proprietors. That's important because they would pay that full 10%, both the 6-6 and the 3-3. It's a huge impact.
And again, it's significantly lower than certainly what's available out on the exchange right now.
Wesley, do you have any other comments or questions?
No, I've always just wondered about that. Why? I'm 70 years old, and I can remember back in the 50s when I was young, my father never even had health insurance to the company. They didn't even offer it back then. And then they started offering it as an incentive, you know, to give people a little something more than just their low wages, you know. So, and it just seems like now it's past time. If they quit having to spend money to give people health insurance, to pay for health insurance, then they could take that money that they're having to spend on that and the time and the effort and everything, and that would eliminate it for small companies especially, and it would make them a lot easier for them. I don't know. Just that's all my only comment. Thank you.
Wesley, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. We've got about a minute and a half left. How about just some final thoughts? Kelly, we'll start with you. Just a final thought about Amendment 69.
I guess I would just say this to the listeners that, you know, Coloradans for Coloradans, you can go to our website at www.coloradansforcoloradans.com and get an idea of the issues. But the most important to us is we are not fighting the philosophy of single payer. We understand that for many Coloradans, that could be the right solution and maybe is where we should focus our energy. It has to be at a national level, that going it alone will not serve our state or accomplish the objectives that we've been talking about on this show.
Okay. Thank you. Dave?
I guess to sum it up very quickly, we can get better health care for less money. And that's what universal health care or a state Medicare for all type system would do. And that's why I'm supporting it.
Okay. Dave Sebados and Kelly Bruff, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thanks to all our callers, and thanks to Jim Nelson for running the board in Boulder, and for Tony for screening calls. I've been your host tonight, Jim Banks, and please join us next week for another edition of It's the Economy.
Thanks, Jim.
If you happen to be rich and you feel like a night's entertainment, you can pay for a gay escapade. If you happen to be rich and alone and you need a companion, you can ring ding-a-ling for the mate. If you happen to be rich and you find you are left by your lover, though you moan and you groan quite a lot, you can take it on the chin, call a cab, and begin to recover on your 14-carat yacht. Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, of that we can be sure. I'm being poor. Money, 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 money,